My name is Patty Height, and I have a ministry called Out of Egypt Ministries, not Out of Egypt in the country. I love Middle Eastern food. I'm going to Israel in March. Yes, woo! But Out of Egypt in the spiritual sense. And man, the Lord did a mighty work. He parted the Red Sea to get me out of Egypt for sure. So I have, I guess I can say I have two home churches. I was born almost 20 years ago, spiritually in New Jersey, Calvary Chapel, Old Bridge. Pastor Lloyd Pulley, Karen Pulley is his wife. He is my papa pastor, but I have the blessing. The Lord called me to move out to California. I've been here just a little bit over a year, and I have the blessing to say that I am being in fellowship and going to church at Calvary South OC with Pastor John Randall and Michelle Randall. So as I say and joke with my friends, I just must be God's favorite. Because I'm telling you, don't you feel like that? He just blesses our socks off. So this workshop is in His image. In His image. So Heavenly Father, we thank You that You chose to create us in Your image. And who's more beautiful than You? And You created us in Your image. And when You created us, You said, it's very good. So we thank You and we praise You. We pray for Your presence now in this workshop, in the other workshops. Thank You that we were just encouraged in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, fill us completely. Empty me of self, Lord God, that I would only speak the words that You would have me to share. Be glorified, we pray, in Jesus' name. Genesis 1:27. So God created, God what? Created. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. So this is a simple truth, but becoming a difficult truth for our present culture to believe. As Miss Gail said, man, it's just dark. Do you guys sometimes just feel the darkness pressing on you? We so need a fresh fill daily of His Spirit. We have nothing in us to fight this darkness, yet we have everything in us to fight this darkness, because you know what we have in us? Holy Spirit, and we have truth. We have truth in us, ladies. We have truth. So we have to be the ones to tell this culture that doesn't believe that we're created by God that we are created beings, and that we are actually created for God's glory. We were created to worship Him. As our theme for this year's conference says, we know our theme verse is Revelation 4:11, but I want to start at verse 8. Revelation 4:8-11. The four living creatures, meaning they were created, the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever, and cast pain. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created. So again, I will say, we are created beings. We're created for His glory. We were created to worship Him because He is worthy. And what happens when we don't? Lord, please let this stay on. What happens when we don't believe this simple truth? People create their own truth. They try to recreate that which God has already created And in that, they, of course, fall short. I want you guys to watch this video. This video is of a young lady who tried to recreate. You'll see the scar on her arm where they took the flesh out of her arm and some veins and capillaries, a big chunk of it, to create a phallus for her because she wanted to be a boy and she wanted to have the body that a boy, but you can't recreate what God creates. So please watch this video.
I was thinking a lot about my presence online and just being online in general. But for the 8 years that I was transitioning, I was actively documenting it. I was actively talking about it and posting it on YouTube. And I can't help but think about other girls who will end up like me and the role that I might have played in that happening with my YouTube videos and stuff, because I maybe wasn't as forthcoming about what transitioning was actually like. There was a lot going on behind the scenes of all the videos that I posted, you know. After having bottom surgery, because when I had bottom surgery, like, the healing process is incredibly painful, and I got prescribed like a ton of pain meds. And I was taking them around the clock for the pain for a while, but then, yeah, things just kind of, you mix drugs with sadness, I just kind of developed an addiction, yeah. And after having bottom surgery, I was basically addicted to pain pills, so I was struggling with that silently. I wasn't talking about that online. All of the mental health issues that I had had prior to transitioning were still there. Still present, probably worse, a lot worse. I think I painted this picture online like I was just really happy and that transitioning was making my life better. And that's not what was happening off camera. I think I wanted to believe that transitioning was making my life better. I mean, I had just invested all this time, all this money, all this energy into transitioning, and I didn't want it to be the wrong choice. I didn't want something so big, something so irreversible, like, I didn't want that to be wrong. So it took me a while to actually accept. Transitioning didn't solve any of my problems. Transitioning didn't make me feel more like myself. It actually made me feel further from myself. And it's just been such a long walk, such a long journey back to myself. But that's what this is. You know, this, I'm actively coming back to myself. So if I ever, I know I did portray it online as if like transitioning was the best thing that ever happened to me. It wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't. And I'm sorry. I contributed to this fast track transition and feel better narrative, I think. When that's just not the case for everybody. It wasn't the case for me. Changing my external world did not fix my internal world. Everything that was there internally before is still here now. I see like little glimpses of light at the end of the tunnel, and I'm hopeful, but everything just does feel really kind of sad right now. Just kind of hopeless. I'm just gonna keep pushing forward.
This should break our hearts. This is Jalissa. Identify as Tyler. Her transition from female. Should we use this? Is this float? All right. Test, test. Do you want me to switch to this, brother? Okay. That means I'm going to have to stand still. Test, test. There we go. Okay. So for our recording purposes, this is Jalissa. She used to self-identify as Tyler. Her transition from female to male was an 8-year journey. During those years, she documented her journey online as a social media influencer. So we see she realizes now that not only was this a mistake for her life, but that she led many astray with her. Some of those she led astray could be your kids. They could be the kids in your youth group, kids in your Christian school. We don't know, because all of our kids have access to the internet, which means they have access to her and influencers like her. So while we know our home and our church and our Christian school is safer than many other places, there is no safe zone anymore because of the internet. The only way we can keep this from reaching the hands of our own children is to take the internet out of our home. Jalissa now has a body that has irreversible damage, in that she had what is called both top and bottom surgery. She had a double mastectomy, complete hysterectomy, and phalloplasty, and none of that that's her body now, even though she's what's called detransitioning. This is her body. And since 2007, when the iPhone came out, there's been a 5,000% increase in tweens and teens identifying as LGBT, but mostly T and mostly girls. So we have to be equipped. She tried to recreate what the Lord created because she had deep inner pain that she didn't know what to do with. She didn't know the Creator, so she tried to create. She says in another video, "There was never any need to change anything about my body. My body was never the issue. My thinking was." Where does the enemy come for us? In our thoughts. Ladies, are we ready to minister to women like Jalissa if the Lord leads them to our church? I pray that you've seen her face. I pray that the Lord leads her to one of our churches, because I believe she lives on the West Coast. And I pray the time we spend together in this workshop will be just the beginning of the Lord equipping us, because I could spend hours on this. I actually do full day conferences talking about all this. Actually, speaking of that, this is a trifold flyer I have. If you are a pastor's wife, please grab one of these from Sandy, not right now, from Sandy. Get them somehow somewhere before you go, from me or the lady in the yellow shirt. Bring it home to your husband or to your pastor if you're interested in having an Out of Egypt ministry conference, or just have me come out or whatever, because we have to talk about this because it's in our churches. So let's pray for Jalissa to come to know Jesus, maybe in our church. And we're actually going to pray for her right now. And I don't care if it's taped or not, because the Lord told me to get on my knees for her. So Heavenly Father, we come before you right now and lift up Jalissa to you, God, and pray that you would minister to her, Lord God, that she wouldn't be beating herself up for the mistakes that she has made. She wouldn't be beating herself up with not knowing what to do with the pain that she experienced in her life. Jesus, Holy Spirit, come to her and meet her right where she is, that she knows you're real and that you love her and that you have a plan and a purpose for her life, even with the body that she has now, that she's not damaged goods. She is your daughter, and you can do great and mighty things in and through her and for her, because you are a great and mighty God. Save her, minister to all the people that she influenced on social media, and minister to all those lost as she is. We love you and we praise you. We lift this up in Jesus' name. Amen. So my story is similar to hers, except that I was born in the 1960s instead of the 2000s. I am 100% sure if I was born in the 2000s with the same issues and feelings and circumstances that I had back in the 60s when I was a young person, I would have transitioned without the shadow of a doubt, as many of our kids are today. So many of you have heard my testimony. I'm just going to share briefly just a little bit of it, probably in a different way than you've heard me share before, and then we'll get into practical ways of how to minister in this. I don't have a lot of memories of my childhood because of trauma, but one thing I definitely remember is that I thought I was a boy. I thought I was a boy. And once I realized I wasn't, I became very confused and very angry. I didn't understand. And so I expressed this to my parents. And so in 1974, when I was 8 years old, my mom took me to the doctor and said she didn't know what to do with me because I thought I was a boy. And that wasn't common back then. So the doctor just nonchalantly told her, oh, don't worry about it. She'll grow out of it and make a fine wife someday. But probably unknowingly to him in his nonchalance, he was actually correct in his diagnosis. Statistics show that between 85 and 95% of children that have gender confusion will not have that same struggle once they experience and make their way through puberty if there's no affirming influence. If there's no affirming influence. But that was not my story. My gender confusion led to gender dysphoria as an adult. I had a love-hate relationship with my body right from the start. I loved having the athleticism that my body provided, but I hated this same body because it was the same body that was being used in recurring sexual abuse. Unfortunately, my story is not uncommon in those who identify as gay and trans. Many have stories of various abuses, and now it seems the latest form of abuse is that of social media. Our young people are being abused by predators online that call themselves influencers. Interesting word, isn't it? Wonder who put that word in their hearts and minds to identify themselves as on social media. Not God. So I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I didn't know how to turn to the Lord in my time of need and in help and prayer. I didn't know there was a God who loved me and who would comfort me and speak truth to me. I didn't know the truth. I needed truth desperately, but I didn't know the truth, so I made my own. The truth was I was in deep pain, and I didn't know what to do to relieve it, so I found any way I could, and the only way I knew to manage the pain was through self-injury, drugs, and alcohol. The self-injury for me began around 5 years old, and the drugs and alcohol began at 12. I was dropping hits of acid at 13 years old, excessively. Then next came the masculine and gay identity in my 20s. When I first came out and started identifying in the masculine and taking on a gay identity, you ready for this one? I actually felt relief. I felt relief. I felt relief identifying in the masculine because it was my armor, because nobody told me I could arm myself in the righteousness of God. Nobody told me about Ephesians chapter 6. So I had to create my own armor. I hid behind a masculine presenting identity because that was the only way I could keep myself safe from men. If I looked like a man, men would leave me alone. And that's where the sense of relief comes in. And I'm curious if something similar to this is happening to our tween and teen girls who are being poked and prodded at sexually at school or being sexualized online by perverts. Maybe they see a transmasculine identity as a place of safety as well, a place they can hide their female body. And if they're coming into their puberty and they're developing, well, they are, if they're coming into puberty, developing breasts and they're getting their cycle, and it's uncomfortable for them. Remember, it was just like, ugh, what is this? So now they're being told online, if you don't like your breasts and you don't like getting your period every month, you're trans. And they believe it because they see it online and nobody else is telling them the truth. Certainly not the schools. When I started identifying as gay is when I felt freedom for the first time, and I felt free because I was no longer stuffing down these sexual desires that I had for as long as I could remember. But just because I felt free doesn't mean I was free. It was a delusion. I had a false sense of freedom because I was carrying about in a false identity. But it felt real. I had an identity I created myself to keep me safe and comforted, both physically and sexually. I didn't know that I could find safety and comfort in the Lord because nobody told me about Jesus. The only thing I saw from Christians were the signs that I saw at pride parades telling me that I was going to go to hell and he hated me. So if they're the ones that know God and they're telling me that I'm going to hell and he hates me, why would I want to follow this God? It's ridiculous. It makes no sense. Please don't do that. If you do, you're drawing people away from God instead of to him. You're a clanging cymbal and a sounding brass. That's 1 Corinthians 13, the same chapter that tells us love never fails. So I didn't follow this God. Instead, I made up my own God. Some days it was the God of reincarnation. Some days it was the God of Mother Nature. Some days it was the God of alien creatures. Today, I had to be mindful that it wasn't the God of Mother Nature, as I was saying, don't make any more copies. Trees had to die for that. So I'm still a work in progress. I don't believe in Mother Nature, but I still love my trees. I wasn't an atheist. I was always looking for something or someone higher than me. Oftentimes when I got high, the reason I would keep getting higher and higher is in hopes to find who was higher than me. I was seeking in the only way I knew how. And you know what? That was enough for the Lord. He knew in all my seeking that it was really him I was searching for, the God of all comfort. 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. So after two very difficult circumstances in my life, one being my brother's death as I was holding his hand and watching him die, I wanted to find out who was this God that saved my brother just a few months before he died. And so God came and met me himself right where I was, right in the midst of my own self-identification. I woke up one morning, rolled over, and looked my girlfriend in the eye and just said, babe, do you ever think the way we're living is wrong? Her eyes got huge, and she looked at me, and with a stunned face, she's like, I can't believe you just asked me that. I was literally just getting ready to ask you the same thing. Well, there he is, God and the Holy Spirit, right there in our bedroom, because there's no place you can flee from God when he wants to make himself known to you. What? Guess what? He does. He does. So we were both shocked, and immediately we got on our knees and just said, God, if you're real, will you show us? And if the way we're living is wrong, show us. So the Lord, in his sovereignty, miraculously led us. We had a Bible up in the attic, so we fished through, found it, brought it downstairs. And the Lord, in his sovereignty, led us to both the Old Testament verse of Leviticus 18:22 and Romans chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, which both talk about homosexual behavior as being ungodly, sinful, and unnatural. And you know what? Miraculously, we believed it. So within a few short weeks, we found a church, Calvary Chapel Old Bridge, and on the same day in January of 2003, both of us repented, believed, and received the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen. Our God is mighty to save, and she's a missionary now. She actually just left, whenever the third was, is that yesterday? She just left for places I can't say because we're being taped, but she's gone for like the next 2 weeks, going to places, doing things that if she gets caught, she probably won't come back home. But that's what God does when he says, you are mine. And we're like, okay, That's who our God is. So while salvation is instantaneous upon repentance and belief, we know that sanctification is a process. It took years for the Lord to heal the hurting places that led me to creating my own self-identity. And he's still bringing healing and will continue until I go to be home with him. Today would be good if you want to come back, Jesus. But praise be to God for the truth of Romans 8:18, for I consider the sufferings of this present time not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. So when it's hard, ladies, I cling to that verse. All right, this is a pretty rough one today. Oh, but there's a glory that we don't even know. I forget who is sharing it, but like Sandy, when like, oh man, I'm thinking about heaven because of the circumstances she had in her life. And she's like, what's it going to be like? Like, I can't wait for that moment. And that helps us. That gives us hope here where the sufferings are rough, but we have a hope of heaven. And we're the only ones that have that hope. So how do we minister to people that identify as trans? Ready? With truth. With truth. Truth in love, because truth is love. Because who's the truth? Who is love? Truth is love. The truth was, I was a sinner and I needed to repent. Whether the sin I was committing felt good or felt normal to me or felt like my truth, it wasn't the truth. I needed the truth of my God identity instead of my self identity. It made sense that I had a self-identity, that I created a self-identity. The female body that I had was what was abused, so I didn't want that body. But it was still doesn't mean that I could carry about in my own self-identity. I needed my God identity, and in that, my freedom, believing that truth, that's where my freedom came. My freedom came from the truth and the truth alone. While I was held and held up and welcomed with open arms at Calvary Old Bridge, and I got saved in an instant, my then girlfriend and I walked in as lovers, and we left as sisters, never to be together again in any way, shape, or form. And the church saw that. But it took a very long time for me to stop wearing men's clothes. But they didn't tell me time to go out and buy some dresses now, Patty. What they did is they walked alongside me right where I was, trusting that God would tell me when it was time. I'm excited to tell you I no longer wear men's boxer briefs to church. Yay! But it took a minute. It took a minute. Because you know what? That was my Under Armour, right? Because that was protecting an area that was once abused, and I felt safer in that male identifying protection. But the Lord worked with me through that. So again, my freedom came from truth and truth alone, because you know what? Deception leads to death. Truth leads to life. We have to stand strong in the truth. Please, you guys, don't cower. Don't be afraid to speak the truth. It could save somebody's life. Please, I know it's hard at some of your workplaces if you're not serving or working alongside your husband or your associate pastors. Wherever you're serving in the church, we have to speak the truth. If we look at truth as a circle, we're just a little piece of the pie now in this truth circle, and that's the only place there's truth. That's it. Schools, truth? No. Colleges, truth? No. A lot of the homes these kids are living in, truth? No. Social media, truth? No. Television, movies, truth? No. In the church, in our hearts, when we go to work, being the light and the love and the truth of Jesus Christ, truth there? Yeah. But it's about this big now. Narrow is the gate. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. We are the way to life because we carry truth. So don't be afraid to share truth. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. We have to have a sound mind when we're hearing all this crazy going on. Well, can you be born in the wrong body? No. No. Let's find out why people think they are, though, because there's a reason. We have to speak truth. Will we lose friends speaking truth? Possibly. Will our children threaten to disown us and leave the family? Possibly. That's happening in many families. Will younger children that still live in the home threaten their parents with suicide? Many are, and I'm so sorry if you're experiencing that. I'm so sorry. But listen, will giving into this false gender ideology and using their language save them? Never, never. Listen, this is huge right here. I'm probably going to say that on every page of my notes. The devil has his own language. Did you guys know that? The devil has his own language. Listen to this carefully. In John chapter 8, where we have Jesus tell us that the truth will set us free. The truth will set us free. And if we're in the Son, we are free indeed. That's in John chapter 8 and 32 and 36 or 38, something like that. But when we move on, is Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and they're like, ah, we're cool. You know, our father's Abraham. We're good to go. He's like, whoa, Nelly. In the Hebrew, however, say, whoa, Nelly in Hebrew. Listen to what Jesus says in John 8:44 in the NIV as he's speaking to the Pharisees. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding on to the truth. It doesn't say he didn't believe the truth. It says not holding on to the truth. He knows what the truth is. For there is no truth in him. Listen to this. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So if we use their language as their own self-identifier, we're hurting them, not helping them, and we are on the side of the father of lies. And we can't be, because our father is a father of truth. We are the only ones carrying truth. So if we use their language, we're hurting them, not helping them. And if we use their language, we would be lying to them, and lying kills. Truth brings life. That would be perpetuating the deception they're already in. We don't conquer deception with deception. We conquer it with truth, even if the truth cuts, and it will, with people with severe dysphoria or even caught in the social contagion, which is a cult. The social contagion trans ideology is a cult. Treat it like a cult when you're ministering to your children or to people in your church. But that's a whole nother 45-minute conference. But the truth cuts. We know God's word cuts. Listen, I was a cutter. I was a self-injurer. I know cutting. Trust me, the cutting we get from God's word may hurt, but it heals. For the Hebrews 4:12, we know this, girls. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the soul, even to the division of the soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, that's the flesh. So we have soul, spirit, and flesh, cuts the soul, spirit, and flesh, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God's word is powerful. His word is eternal truth. It doesn't change with culture. Therefore, neither should we. Psalm 119. And listen, I'm saying this. I'm saying this from a person that had severe gender dysphoria. Please don't use their language. You're perpetuating the deception, and the deception that they're in is killing them. Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Culture cannot change his word. And we carry truth in our hearts because God's word is hidden in our heart, and truth is on trial in our culture. We cannot waver in truth in hopes to minister to someone. It's the truth that saves. It's the truth that sets people free. And if we don't speak truth, complete truth, then we're actually speaking lies. There's no way around that. A white lie is a huge lie. Exaggerating a situation when it didn't really happen that way is a lie. Time is so short. We do not have time to speak anything but the truth. No one ever comes to the cross by the way of a lie. It was truth himself that hung on that cross. And he's worthy for us to speak the truth about who he is. He is the creator, and we cannot recreate. So with that, I believe using someone's preferred pronouns, which is identifying them in their self-identity instead of their God identity, using preferred pronouns in hopes to keep the relationship going is lying to them. Do we think if we use someone's preferred pronouns, it'll keep the relationship alive so that someday we can share the gospel with them? Well, I want to just make sure I keep them in my life. Share truth with them and we're going to talk about grace in a graceful way. The church doesn't necessarily always have a history of loving and speaking truth with grace to those who identify as gay or trans, but we are now because God's teaching us. And you know why he's teaching us? Because these people matter to him. They were created in his image. And John tells us that once they believe in Jesus, then they have the right to become children of God. Don't you want your trans neighbor or coworker to become a child of God? Do we want Jalissa to become a child of God? I do. So speak truth with grace. It might save their lives. We don't want to manipulate them by using their preferred pronouns. Nobody comes to salvation through manipulation. We're living in perilous times, and the spiritual battle is fierce. We need to be warriors, to be battle ready, armed in truth. I love this quote from author John Broger. As an obedient believer, you are to stand firm in the strength of the Lord, to be sober in spirit, and to remain alert in order to resist the schemes of the devil. However, in all areas of your walk as a believer, you're incapable in your own strength and insufficient in your own resources to overcome the wiles and temptations of Satan. Therefore, you must put on the full armor of God to be an overwhelming conqueror in your continuing spiritual battle. And sometimes we're in spiritual battles for others. So as hard as the battle is, obedience to the truth beats the enemy every time. We have to have on our spiritual wardrobe and our spiritual armor. And let me explain that. Our spiritual wardrobe of tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, and love is what we find in Colossians 3, 12 through 14. It's the put off and the put on. We are to put on this wardrobe of tenderness and kindness and humility. And it also says the bond, love is the bond of perfection. You want to be perfect? Put on love as your outer garment. But then there's also our spiritual armor. And we have to arm ourselves with truth, with righteousness, with peace, with faith, with salvation, and with the word of God, as Ephesians 6, 14 through 17 tells us. Because Ephesians 6 also tells us what kind of battle we're in. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. And man, is this age dark. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Truth is what we need. So to me, the spiritual wardrobe and the spiritual armor kind of sounds like a little bit of a combo of grace and truth. And that's how we reach our gender-confused friends and family, with grace and truth. That's how we're equipped. John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And if Jesus was filled with grace and truth, we can be too, because we have the Spirit of the living God dwelling inside of us. All things are now possible in us because he is in us, and with him, all things are possible. And I believe it's in that order, grace and truth. Grace first, because if we don't come with grace first, people might not want to hear the truth. But that can be in the same conversation. We're the ones that have to bring truth to people, because they're not going to hear it anywhere else, but we have to bring it with grace and compassion. So listen, we have to cry out to the Lord in prayer and ask for his giftings and his wisdom for each individual we talk with. When I'm talking to somebody, generally I'm praying at the same time, Lord, please give me every spiritual gift needed for this person, for this conversation, for this moment, because I have nothing. Lord, please give me whatever spiritual gift you want now for this person right now. And guess what? He does, because we ask. And the Father tells us when we ask him for the Spirit, he gives it to us. Paul tells us in Colossians 4, 5, and 6, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Lord, I don't know how to answer, but let these words and these giftings that you give me be graceful, and season it with your salt, because I don't know how to answer, but I'm trusting you, God. Ask God for wisdom, for grace. 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26 tells us, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition. Listen to this. Why do we do this? Well, it tells us. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So if they've been taken captive by the enemy to do his will, and he has his own special language of lying, and we're supposed to be kind and gentle and speaking truth in humility, if God will perhaps grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, can we do that when we use someone's preferred pronoun? I don't believe so either. We see in these verses both grace and truth, and how they're both vital in sharing with people who are on the outside, as Colossians says, and those caught in the snare of the devil, as 2 Timothy says. Listen to what Warren Wiersbe says about truth and love. Truth without love is brutality, and love without truth is hypocrisy. So you want me to say it again so you can write it down? Truth without love is brutality, and love without truth is hypocrisy. So here's a few examples of what grace and truth might look like. I only, because of time, had time to do these two examples, but we can hang out for dinner as long as it's gluten-free. And I'll share. I'll stay here all night talking to anybody that wants to talk about stuff, but it would be cool if I got a little bite to eat, because I was too nervous to eat today before this. But so we'll have dinner together. How's that? So let's just say your son comes home from college and says that he wants to be identified in the female now, and is using she, her pronouns, is growing out his hair, and is wearing women's clothing and makeup. This is happening a lot. He tells you his new name, and that the name you gave him at birth is now his dead name and not to be used anymore. That's what they're calling their birth name. They call it their dead name, and you're not to use it, or it will cause them, they call it abuse if you use their birth name. So he, of course, assumes that he's going to be living with you because he just got home from college, he's your child, and he's got no place to live and no job. What do you do? And this is so important. The first thing you do, mom and dad, is sit down together with your son, just the three of you. Sit down together and pray and ask the Lord for wisdom, holding his hand. Don't say, God, please don't make my son transgender. You can pray that alone as you're weeping in your pillow, but your child needs to see you crying out and asking God for wisdom. Lord, what do we do? We were not expecting to hear this. We're kind of thrown for a loop. We don't know what to do. We want to honor you in this, Lord God, but we want to be able to minister to our child right where he is, and we don't know how. God, help. Please protect our heart. Please protect his heart and lead us and guide us in all that we should do from this point forward. I think it's really important for your child to see that you go to God first. So that should be your first step. Next is to set up boundaries. Let your child know that they're not going to be able to wear clothes bought from the women's department or makeup while living in your home. Let them know that you're not, and listen to this, let them know that you're not going to be using their preferred pronouns of she, her, but you will do your best to be mindful of the discomfort it causes your child using he, him, and you will instead try to find other words as identifiers that won't compromise the truth. You guys understand that? Grace and truth. So you're acknowledging that they're in pain and that the truth of their gender created gender identity the way God created them for this season, whether it's really from trauma or from being online too much or just being in college, it's still causing them pain because the enemy has come in and deceived them. So even if there was no indicators, even if it's what's called rapid onset gender dysphoria, they're still experiencing pain from that. So you need to hear that and love them right where they are without saying, well, you're my son, and so it's he, him, no matter what. And we get that, and that is the truth. But let them hear you say, I don't understand the pain and confusion you're experiencing with this, but we're not going to call you she, her, but we'll do our best to love you right where you are and find identifiers that God tells us would not be compromising the truth and won't hurt you as seemingly so bad as he, him does. Does that make sense? So a quick side note, a little side note from our scenario here. Data shows that whenever younger people, especially kids, are affirmed in social transitioning, I'm going to explain that, are affirmed in social transitioning, especially by an authoritative figure like a parent, that often leads to hormonal transition, which then can lead to surgical transition. So there's three types of transitioning. There's social transitioning, hormonal transitioning, or medical transitioning, but I like to say hormonal. So social transitioning, hormonal transitioning, and surgical transitioning. Social means changing names and pronouns and outward appearance, but not medical or surgical changes to their body. Hormonal, which is HRT, hormonal replacement therapy, this can cause irreversible damage in their bodies, especially young ladies that start taking testosterone. Their voice drops, and even if they stop taking it a year or two later, they don't lose that deep voice. That deep voice stays with them. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. Surgical, sex reassignment surgery, SRS, is, of course, irreversible and will most likely, listen, include lifelong medications. Lifelong medications, even if they detransition, like Jalissa. She'll be on meds the rest of her life. SRS, sex reassignment surgery, has less than 60% success rate, meaning many surgeries, almost half, are often botched, for lack of better words. Many people that get what is called bottom surgery, they have to go through so many surgeries, and it takes years, and they still end up with colostomy bags or catheters because the surgery didn't give them what they were hoping in their recreated self, because only God creates. So again, data is showing that when parents or those in authority positions affirm a young person in their social transition, there's a high percentage that they will then move to the next step of hormone replacement therapy. That's why truth is vital, especially in this situation. Not only does the truth set us free, but it could help our child not cross over into a body-altering, lifelong mistake. So back to the scenario. Because you're not affirming your child in their new identity, they will most likely come back at you and say things like, so your son comes home and says he's now your daughter. So if you don't affirm them in that, they're probably going to say something to you like, would you rather have a living daughter or a dead son? Because that's language they've learned online, and parents are hearing it over, and I'm hearing it over and over again. So this is common language used by the trans kids when speaking to their non-affirming parents. They've learned this language from other trans-identifying people on the internet, and unfortunately, this is very common language. So pray the Lord gives you strength to not cower to this horrendous manipulation and abuse from your child. And remember, John 8:44 tells us that the devil has his own special language too. So let's not fall victim to that. And I can't imagine how hard that is if you're experiencing that. I'm so sorry. But you can say something to the effect of, I'm sorry, honey, that your pain is so deep that you're thinking you'd rather be dead than to continue being our son. Please let us help you and get you into counseling. We will find a Christian counselor for you to meet with. However much it costs, we will mortgage our house if that's what it takes to help you, because that's how much we love you. Please do not send them to a gender clinic. They will put them on cross-sex hormones almost immediately. Do not send them to a gender clinic. For as long as you have your child in your home, not only speak truth to them and pray truth over them, but live truth out in your own life. Let them see that you're holding on to God's goodness even in these hard times, in this particular circumstance. Let them see that you don't change even when circumstances do. Let who you are point to who he is. Love them right where they are without changing who you are, meaning don't compromise truth for grace's sake. Pastor David Whiting says this about grace and truth. If we're full of truth but we lack grace, truth gets distorted and grace gets lost. But if we're full of grace and not full of truth, then grace gets distorted and the truth gets lost. So minister to their heart, not their identity. Minister to their heart, not their identity. Their heart needs to change before their identity will. This is a spiritual battle caused by spiritual deception that needs to be handled with spiritual guidance. Fast and pray, please. In all my years of ministry, I've never seen things as dark as they are now with this transgender ideology. This is a cult that has quickly taken over the hearts and minds of so many of our young people. We need to be fasting and praying because the world's not doing that for them. Feels like we're in the battle of our lives, and that's why I encouraged us earlier to be battle ready. And I want to let you know I'm in this battle with you. I'm diligently studying and praying about what's going on with this new gender ideology. I have a prayer team. So as you pull up my website, I don't know if you got cards or not. It's outofegyptministries.org. There's a prayer icon on there. I have a prayer team of 30 women that pray every other week for everyone that fills that out. I can't keep up with all the prayers. I'm somewhere new every weekend because this is such a crazy time that we're living in. So I have a prayer. God has given me a prayer team. We have to fast and pray. And we at Out of Egypt Ministries are in this with you. We have to be able to minister to people like Jalissa that we saw in the video. We have to be able to minister to people who are in the midst of their trans identity and come to into our church because the Spirit of God is drawing them. And we can do that by loving them right where they are and speak truth to them because truth is love. So a conversation with a trans person that's joining us in our fellowship at our church that has questions like, what Bible study do I go to, or what bathroom do I use? Do I go to the men's Bible study, the women's Bible study? Like, what bathroom do I use? Because they sincerely want to keep coming back to church because God is drawing them and they're hearing truth. They're hearing the goodness of God in the Word of God. So our response might be, I'm so glad you found our church and that you've been joining us weekly. We're so thankful to have you here as you sit at the feet of Jesus and hear his word preached each week. I love you so much, and I want to bless you and encourage you in who God created you to be. So with that, I cannot affirm the recreated you, because you created that person, probably from a place of pain and confusion, and I can't imagine that struggle for you. If you want to share that experience with me, I'm here, I'll listen, I'll pray over you, and I'll pray with you, because I can't imagine the struggle. But listen, friend, God created, and since we're women here, we'll use the female. God created you female. And I get that that doesn't sit well with you and it's not comfortable for you. I get that you're dysphoric in your body, so you're trying to recreate what God has already created in hopes to maybe just find some relief from the dysphoria. But you're not going to find full satisfaction in that. You're always going to be trying harder and harder and harder to present as in the masculine or as a man. And you're always going to be worried if you're passing. And then once the Spirit of God starts working in you, you're not going to want to pass. But what do you do now? You're chasing a carrot that you're never going to catch. And I don't want that for you. I want you to have peace. And I don't want you to keep trying harder and harder to find peace in what you recreated, because that's never going to happen. You're only going to find peace in Jesus, the one who created you. He created you because he loves you. And he's the one that created you. And he created you as a female, and you're trying to recreate a male. So let's find out why you're recreating and minister to you there. I will walk alongside you for however long it takes. That's grace and truth. And remember, minister to their heart, not their identity. Their heart needs to change before their identity does. We have to pray and trust that God will meet them right where they are, like he did with me, and do a mighty work through the power of his Holy Spirit and the power of his word. John 17:17, Jesus says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." The Bible tells us who love is and what love is. And we'll end with this because I've gone long. 1 John 4:16-18 tells us who love is. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. And there's no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So don't be afraid to speak truth, because truth is love. And we know 1 Corinthians 13 tells us what love is. So we know who love is, and here's what love is. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Love people with the truth so you can point them to the truth, because there's no other way to freedom. And Psalm 107 verse 20 says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions.